This section talking about our walk. So we've been discussing Romans 8. We've been discussing Romans 8 in relationship to our walk. Verse 1 says, "Therefore there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh." And the word "after," I think you can check this out, but I'm pretty sure if I remember correctly, can even better be translated "according."
Yes.
Good. According. Well, your walk is according to the flesh instead of the spirit of life that's in Christ, that's in union with Jesus. Okay. So, Romans 8, the beginning verses up to probably verse 12 or 13, is really pressing in on this thing of our walk. So, the application of this death is not being presented to us from Romans 8 from Christ who died so long ago, but Christ within us. This is clearly seen as the emphasis from verses 9 through 11. So let's try 9 through 11 now. "But ye are not after the flesh, but in the Spirit." You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of Christ, what's it say next? Dwells in you. This isn't talking about you dwelling in Christ. This isn't talking about some spiritual thing. This is talking about what it is that dwells in you. Okay? Yeah, that's Romans 8, and we're reading verse 9 through 11. You're welcome. You're welcome. And thank you for praying for me that I don't get sick. You know, I was sitting there thinking, I thought, you know, I'm never going to ask for prayer for healing again. Every time people pray, I'm going to say, pray for me that I just don't get sick. Anyway, sorry. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Okay, so what? If he doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. It doesn't mean if you're not Spirit-filled, you know, and speaking other tongues or whatever, you're not of him. But if you don't have his Spirit, you're not really of him. You know, it doesn't mean you're not saved. I mean, I think the salvation thing got dealt with, you know, like 3 or 4 chapters back. But it does mean, yes. We're not out from him. So we're not of him, not that we're not his. Because in truth, we are his. If you're born again, you're his. He may not like you, but you're his. Meditate on that for a while. Just kidding. All right, so the issue there is not that of believing in a finished work. Oh, we didn't finish reading on down. Sorry. Verse 10. "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, because the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also give life to or quicken your mortal bodies," that's your mortal body, "by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." And the Spirit that he just described dwelling in you was the Spirit of Christ. He named it. It's and what is the Spirit of Christ? Anybody? What?
Self-giving.
Okay. That's a good point. That's a good point. You said, what point did I make? I said, and what is that Spirit, or how do we describe that Spirit? Okay, so we can say, I'm just taking a slip here. been beating it too hard. All right, so let's just take a second. The Spirit of Christ, or Jesus, the nature of Christ, can be described, and we use a lot of definitions for that. So when it talks about Christ in you, or like in verse 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, or if Christ be in you, what is the definition or the terminology that we tend to use when we say Jesus? Many times we may be thinking of something specific. And Kelly mentioned self-giving. We're talking about a self-giving nature, right? Okay. We're also talking about the Spirit of the Lamb, same thing as a self-giving nature. We're just using different terminology. We also use Christ crucified instead of the cross. The cross referring to a finished work. Christ crucified referring to a nature in a way. There's other terms. I can't think of them all right now. Anybody? Yeah. Wow, that's good. You two are womb mates. I think there's... Let's see, self-giving, Spirit of the Lamb, Christ crucified. I think there's some more. But anyway, this will help you to realize that sometimes when we say the Spirit of Christ, or when we say Christ, you know, Christ in you, particularly Christ in you, this Spirit is what we're referring to. Okay? Right. All right. So, did we get through these? No, we didn't. Verse 12. Okay, we did get through them. All right. So, the issue there is not that of believing in a finished work, but relying on Christ, who is your life within. Right? Did y'all see it? It is. It's not making any forays into the eternal other than referring to this all does come from being in Christ. That's the foundation. But it's building on something now, and it's building on that, but it's not building that. That foundation of being in Christ and what's settled is settled. It's a finished work. Okay? So I'm just going to say it like this. You don't build something that's built. Okay, so by this time, that should be built. This time in Romans, where we're at in Romans 8, that should be built. It should be common knowledge. Where did we get that from? Well, try Romans 5. Where it's, you're either in Adam or in Christ. Okay, so let me just read here. And the result of that is personal. As to how each individual allows the Spirit of Christ, not the Holy Spirit, to affect his outward living. Right? It's absolutely true. When it comes to your walk, folks, that's personal. When it comes to being in Christ, you were raised up, you were crucified together. Right? Nobody was crucified individually. We all were crucified together. Okay, we were raised up together, made to sit together. Notice the words together, together. In heavenly places, that's all universal, meaning it's all inclusive. But when you're talking about Christ in you, that's personal. And, I mean, just think about it. When the scriptures talk about standing before God, what's up with that? Well, if we're in Christ, if we're already saved, if we're saved by grace, then why would we stand before God for you know, and every man his works? Well, it's interesting that it says that a lot in relationship to that you'll be judged every man according to his works. It doesn't say every man according to his sins. Okay, you say, what's the difference, Brother Randy? Well, the sins have been covered by the blood. Am I right or wrong? Okay. But guess what? You're going to be judged by the spirit in which you walked. Your walk is important to God. See? So that's where you see that the judging of the nations. It's not like, but I mean, you see it divided, you know, the goats on this side and the sheep on this side. Well, that determines your walk right there. You either walk as a lamb or you walk as a goat. Right? So, and that judgment, I don't know, I don't remember exactly the way that it's worded there, but, you know, I don't think that judgment is to heaven or hell. I think that's what people call the great white throne judgment. But anyway, the important thing is that your walk is personal. Nobody will stand before God for your walk but you. All right. The verses that follow confirm that the former verses were an application, that we're talking about verses 9 through 11, were an application of Christ in you as to how we live our lives on this earth or our walk. Romans 12 through 13 are talking about not living after or according to the flesh, but to mortify or put to death the deeds of the body. Okay, so let's read 12 and 13. Therefore, do you see that? The first word is therefore. The first question you should ask is, what is it there for? It is there because of what went before. Therefore, got it? So it's going to make its statements built on verses 9 through 11 and everything that went before too. Therefore, brethren, see, he didn't say, therefore, you sinners, your walk stinks. Okay? Your salvation, your walk doesn't determine your salvation. But it does determine God's heart in that sense. And I would say, you know, I would even say that in some cases I think your walk does determine it, in that it's not your walk that's determining it, but your nature is determining what you are. And it's manifested. Because I think there are people that think that they're everything God ever wanted, and they're not. Jesus is everything God ever wanted. And they're going to find it out. Some men's sins are manifest beforehand and some later. You go, what? You know, I don't want to do that standing before God. You know what I mean? Just show me the stuff now. Can I get an amen? God, just show it to me now. And then show me Christ, amen, so I can be conformed to his image. All right. Romans 12 and 13 are talking about not living after or according to the flesh, but to mortify or put to death the deeds of the body. In other words, it is body oriented. I don't know that my sentence, I wrote most of this within the last couple of weeks, actually I wrote this in one day. A couple of days ago. So sometimes my wording isn't exactly right. Romans 8 has to do with an application of death that is meant to be applied to our daily walk in this earth, the deeds of our body. It applies to our walk. It is not merely references to walking in some sort of deep spiritual knowledge that acknowledges a death 2,000 years ago, but has no effect as to mortifying certain deeds of the body. And if you want to know, if you want to see, let's just go to Colossians. Keep your place in Romans, but you know, this is irrefutable. Irrefutable. Okay? And sometimes I have to take these little side roads because people don't know all of these aspects. Okay? Colossians chapter 3. All right, now, you know, listen carefully. I fear that our theology has made us think that we understand certain scriptures and we miss, and I know I have, that we miss the content because either someone taught us something or we've read it a certain way that is according to our mind. listen to this, verse 1 in Colossians 3. If ye... And then the word if there is really the word since. Since you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. See, it didn't say not on earthly things, like you know, some special genes, you know, Jordan or whatever, you know, affliction or whatever, you know, special genes. It's not earthly things. It's things on the earth. Doesn't say don't set your affection on earthly things. It says things on the earth. Big difference. You know, we say, I don't lust after earthly things. But I do after things on the earth. See? Well, how can we pull that off, what he's saying for us to do there? For you're dead. That's the next. You know, it's like, man, how do I not do that? Well, death with Christ. You start there, okay? For you're dead, and your life, which now is Christ if you're dead, right? Your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, see, it is Christ who is our life now. You're dead. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you show up because you're one with him. But you don't show up, you know, you don't show up as a Christian. I'm sorry. I know someday when I'm dead and gone, there will be haters of Randy Nussbaum because I mistreat the term Christian. I'm not the one mistreating it. I'm not. There they are. It is an abuse to use that and then not live as a branch, or an abuse to live that and not live as dead. And there will be, at the same time, there will be a few people. I predict 7. Who will go, oh, man, it was the truth what he was saying. What? What, we got 7? Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for reminding me that the whole world hates me. But it's okay. Yeah, yeah. But I am dead. And Christ is my life. And to prove I'm dead, here's to the haters. For those on Skype, I'm just teasing. These people know it. Y'all may not. I'm just glad they've all fallen asleep by now. All right. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall you appear also with him in glory. Okay, so... so that appearing there is not him appearing in the sky. It's not our soon coming king appearing. It is Christ as our life, appearing as our life. Get it? It says it. It's him appearing as our life. Okay. But it said, for ye are dead. But then the actual Greek in verse 5 is, put to death therefore your members which are upon the earth. All right. So it is saying, the death took place, but you have to apply the cross to your junk, to your life, to your walk, to your people, to your relationships, to your, right? How do you apply it? You mortify. Okay, so this relates strictly, because it says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Okay, so this is all relating to the walk. Okay, so you go, well, you know, I'm dead and I just believe I'm dead, and theologically I hold that, so it doesn't matter really what I say or if I just trample people or whatever, it doesn't matter. But he goes on to say, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. It goes on down, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. I mean, can you get any better than that? I mean, that is, excuse me, just 1 minute. Lie not one to another. Why? Seeing. You must see something, or you're going to do it. Seeing what? Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Okay? Christ, through the cross, put off the old man. Romans 6 happened, right? Now let Romans 8 happen. Right? Okay. Because that's what it says. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image. See, the knowledge it's renewed in isn't deep spiritual knowledge of the cross or of this or that. It's a knowledge of an image that we've taken on. It says it, Scott. Right. You know, I hate it when I lie to myself. I hate catching myself in a lie to myself. Sorry. Did you just lie to me? Sorry, I'm straying a little bit. All right. So, it is not merely references to walking in some sort of deep spiritual knowledge that acknowledges the death 2,000 years ago, but has no effect as to mortifying deeds of the body. That's what this is talking about. And I use Colossians 3 all the way to 14, which has much more stuff, forbearing one another and all that kind of stuff. All right. New subtitle, a system change. I have the word system in parentheses. A system change. Romans 7 states that we are dead to the law by the body of Christ. Okay, back to Romans. And Romans 7, 4, so that we can see that we see it. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be not that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Okay, so that whole thing is definitely spiritual, except that it says you're dead to the law by the body of Christ, and you're married to him that is raised. You're not married in that sense to Jesus of Nazareth. All this happened so that you could be married. You okay with that? That's why it happened. You thought it was so that you could be a happy, that's right, Christian. All right. Remember that as members of his body, because we're dead to the law by the body of Christ, as members of his body, we also partake of his life. Okay? Because if you're the body, folks, and he's the life, then and he's the head and he's the life, because he's not just the head, folks. He's the life of the body. Right? I mean, theologically, let's just say it. Jesus is the life of the body. Amen? Amen. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, really, he's supposed to be. You know, really. Yeah. So when you see body, you should automatically not go, oh, I'm part of his body, so I should act right. What? You should act dead. You shouldn't act dead, you should be dead. Okay. Yeah, like Rocky with the possum, I'm telling you. You should just see Rocky's face though when that happens. I'm going, buddy, he ain't dead. And he's just looking at me so sweet and innocent. He's going, no, I think he is. You know, he's not. And so he'll wander off and go, here. Circle back around. Get over there. Anyway. Remember that as members of his body, we are also partakers of his life. Having brought this about, we now serve God in newness of spirit. Okay, where is that located? It's Romans 7, 6. But now we are delivered from the law. What? Now we are delivered from the law. What? Now we are delivered from the law that being dead, in which we were held, that we should now serve, that we should serve in newness of spirit. Newness of spirit. Do you have an English or Spanish Bible, Patty? Does it say new spirit or new, or what word does it use? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, this is Romans 7, verse 6, and it's like Just read. Nuevo. Okay, see. New spirit. New spirit. Not just new. Because newness, see, that gets us off the hook. We go, it's newness. It's new. It's this newness I have. No, it's not you. It's new. It's not you. You're old. Sorry for those of you that are old. But all of you are the old if it's not Christ. The new is Christ. You'll never be new anymore. You're old. You all okay with that?
Yeah.
When it comes to this,
that's right.
Better be. All right. So, having brought this about, we now serve God in newness of spirit, his nature. Newness of spirit, his nature. And not just by each individual trying to keep the law. Not in the oldness of the letter. Each individual trying to keep the law. Oldness of the letter. Same thing. As Galatians 2:19 and 20 point out, this death in relationship to the law is one in which our life in the flesh is affected. It affects your life in the flesh. We embrace Christ's death, not primarily in terms of putting away the old man as a result of his self, but as a result of Jesus' selfless nature functioning within us, whereby we desire that Christ live and not us. Okay, so that's a form, that's a true, I'm going to say it like this, folks, that's a true grasp of Galatians 2:20. In other words, we've made Galatians 2:20 a theological thing, but the truth is, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by this faith which made me accept death so that Christ could live in me. All right. So the spirit behind that, the whole spirit, why do I always have stuff on the board? Who's writing on this board? The spirit behind Galatians 2:20 in the most real way that I can put it, the spirit of Galatians 2:20 has nothing to do with sin. I said in the truest, deepest meaning, it doesn't. It does in the sense that it affects everything. I mean, it affects everything. But it, read it, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He didn't say, yet not I, because I'm really bad and I shouldn't live anyway and I don't deserve to live and I'm a dog, I should be killed. Or any of that stuff. And then he says, in the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. He doesn't say, I live to defeat sin. That's a big deal. Most Christians are fighting darkness instead of turning on the light. The goal, the heart, turn on the light, and that's Jesus. That's him in us. Turn on the light and the darkness flees. You don't have to fight it. You don't have to battle it. But we go, you know, see, the battle only comes when you won't accept the cross. I'm going to put this there. Okay. Because it all starts with, for you're dead. You're dead and your life is hid with Christ and God. Okay. So, let's just say that a person heard that from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit, and they said, my God, I'm not just a Christian, I'm dead. And I'm dead so that Christ could actually live in me. That's why I'm dead. I'm not dead so I don't sin. Now it's true in Romans 6, isn't it? That you're dead because of sin. That's the whole point of Romans 6. Read it. Study it. Look at it. The whole point is to wipe out sin. I mean, at least the emphasis. Let's just say the emphasis of the eternal work was, it's done. It's a finished work. but it defeats sin. All right. Sin in what manner? As a nature. Okay. But Galatians 2:20 is not even trying to defeat the law. If it exists, if Galatians 2:20 exists, if it exists in a being, if an individual has taken that into their being and it exists in a being, the law is defeated automatically by it. There's no, you don't even have to give the law a thought. It's like the light chased away darkness. It's just like that. Light doesn't go around going, well, I'm ready to take on some darkness. It doesn't do that. Light doesn't think that way. It doesn't exist that way. It's not going, well, just show me some darkness. I'll take it away. No. It just shines. You turn it on, it just shines. It just shines, you know. And in its shining, it defeats all of its enemies. All right. So Galatians 2:20 and Romans 8 are getting in. And Romans 8 is beginning the wonderful journey, which we said last semester when we got into Romans 8. It's beginning the wonderful journey of nature. But most people starting at chapter 12, and certainly past that, don't see it as nature. They see it as now we're going to get into a whole bunch of little rules. And if you don't understand everything that went before, because most people don't. So they're like, I don't get Romans 8. I know people that go, I don't, you know. I say, well, what's your explanation of Romans 6? Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Isn't that Romans like 3? You know, I mean, isn't that the real, and 4? Yeah, it is. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. The book of Romans, certainly the Bible. I mean, I remember some of you are old enough to remember a guy named Johnny Carson. And he used to do this act where he would put on this hat and he would be like this fortune teller, and they would give him an envelope that was sealed, and he'd hold it up to his head and he would say the answer. Then he'd open it up and then he'd read what it was asking or whatever. And so one time they handed him an envelope, and I forget the name that it was, but it was, anyway, so he rips it open and, let's see. First, he puts it up to his head, and Johnny Carson says, Sinbad. And so his sidekick opens the thing and reads it, and it says, sum up the Bible in 2 words. You know. Okay, really? Really? That's the sum of the Bible in 2 words. You know, where's Jesus in any of that? All right, so, man. Where does our time go? Are y'all not only writing on my board, but stealing my... Y'all are turning the clock back there. All right, where am I? I got to... Bless you. Okay. Okay, we embrace Christ's death, not primarily in terms of putting away the old man, but as a result of his selfless nature functioning within us, whereby we desire that Christ live and not us. If you see, you can hate sin and not love Jesus. Right? Because you go, I hate myself. You know, because you see stuff in you that you don't like. And so you're primarily about what's wrong, not what's right. You know, you're primarily, that's like when we first started the church, you know, and we were trying to decide on what we were and who and how, whatever. Somebody said, well, are we a non-denominational church? And I said, no, we're interdenominational. And they said, What's the difference? And I said, none is against. This is what we're not. We're declaring what we're not. We're not telling you what we are. We're telling you what we're not. We're non them. Right? They're not this. What we are is we're not them. And it has a negative connotation, and basically it's putting down other groups. You know? But we allow anyone from any denomination as long as they want Jesus, right? I don't say, now, if you're going to come here, you have to give up whatever denomination you're involved with. You know, that's stupid. Do you want Jesus? It's that simple. I love Jesus. You love it. Yeah, let's go. La, 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 la. You know? And then it's about life then, and it's not about what's wrong. But we found in Romans 7 that there was an advantage to having your face shoved in poop, your own poop, right? And that is, oh, wretched man that I am. Okay, so that had to take place before. But like, particularly in parts of Romans 8, I would say many parts of it, but certainly Galatians 2:20, the time you get there, he doesn't even deal with the problems. He says, if you do this, this will take care of the law. This, Christ is the answer, Christ in you. If you're dead, then that settles the law anyway, doesn't it? Doesn't it settle the requirement? And if Christ is your life, that's your resurrection. It's not you raised up, because that would be unjust, because you deserved your death. So Christ is your life, and you're his body, and you're members. All right. So, yeah, you know, you can walk around and go, you know, you're an enemy, and you're the devil, and you know, looking at everything, or even looking at yourself and going, oh, God, I've got this, and I've got that, and it's just everywhere, and it's just rampant. Or how about another alternative? You turn on the light. You love Jesus. You pray one of the worst prayers ever, but is necessary sometimes. And that is, Lord, help me to love you more. But I mean, that's the worst prayer to have to tell the one that loves you so much, would you pray for me that I would love you more? I mean, is that just a deep slap in the face to God? You know, that we'd have to pray for love more. But we do. Because we're just wretches. You know, we are. We're wretched. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. We are just wretches. And we're just full of ourselves and all that kind of junk. And so there has to be a line, if done in a right spirit, where you say, fill me up, Holy Spirit, with love for Jesus. Which, see, then when you do that, when you say, Holy Spirit, do it, it doesn't slap Jesus in the face, and the love of God is poured out by the Holy Spirit. Doesn't it say that in Romans 5? the Holy Spirit wants to do that. He wants to do that. He's come to do that. He's here. And if you're battling flesh, or you're battling external enemies and all that kind of stuff, the greatest remedy to that is to fall in love with Jesus more. Really, to fall in love with Jesus more. And if you do, then whatever enemies stand in your way, you will want to run over the top of them to get to Jesus, because to you, they're not just sin in themselves or bad things. They are obstacles to get to Jesus. And if you love Jesus, guess what? You'll go. You will go. Just no question about it. Okay, I'm not sure. We're not getting far in this thing. Let's see. Well, we actually did read a few paragraphs. All right, so since we only got one paragraph into this, is Lindsay still back there? I can't see her. Y'all aren't talking underneath the covers, are you? Anyway, let's call this death long ago or death now. Our next class, I want to get into this system change, though, because it is what we're going to do is really identify the basic differences between the system of law and the system of faith. The faith. Oh my God. What a platform to find the Lord in a most beautiful way. Is to see him in contrast to our little, you know, petty little Christian attempts and little things that we're always trying to do for God, and you know, all of it law, and there's always that thing in our mind that I'm sincere, and I'm just gonna say this right now. One of the things that I had to break with before the Lord would begin to show me himself was this stand in myself that, well, my sincerity, which I called my heart. You know, but you know, you're sincere, but you're sincerely wrong. Okay, well, your heart, you know, your heart is, it's deceitful above several things. All things. Okay, so I had to break with that human desire to hold something sacred within myself, which was keeping me from the full death of the cross. You know what I'm saying? Because you're still holding on to something. And for me, you know, it was a big deal to me. I wanted to be sincere. And even if I messed up, I was sincere. And, you know, and it was ugly. It took me a long time to get over that. I mean, because it was one of the last things. But God can't get through to us as long as we're holding certain golden calves, you know. And that golden calf relates to our image to ourselves. Because let's face it, how drastic is a person when your self-image has been broken? I mean, I'm not talking spiritually now. I'm talking just as a human being, that your self-image, whether by some horrible, tragic event that happened to you or whatever, where your self-image was so broken that you were a broken human being. Okay. Well, in a certain sense, that's what happens with this, except for God's offering you another image, the image of Christ. You know, it is fatal to you, but it's not ultimately fatal, because he's life. I mean, what he offers of himself is his own life. He's offering himself. He's offering himself for an image or for us that is perverted and wrong and selfish and prideful and petty and da 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 da, all that stuff. And he's saying, you know, want to trade? And we go, well, no, you know, if I give up everything, then what will I be? One with Christ? Does that sound really bad to you? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if that sounds bad, then get out there and have some fun. I mean, I'm really all for that. I really am. It's like, man, bust hell wide open. Might as well, playing at religion is just the worst. I do not promote religion. You say, well, you're promoting, you know, going to the bars and just da-da-da-da. If you're not going to go for Jesus, might as well have a little fun. And I know what having a little fun out there is like. My wife's laughing because she knows I know, you know. And it's fun. But I gave it up. And you know, there's all the bad, but there's other stuff. For Jesus. I mean, I didn't, not for Christianity, not for, but for Jesus. For Jesus, it was like, I'm going for him, you know what I mean? I'm gonna stay with him. It's just, it's crazy, isn't it, Joseph? I mean, you hear, your heart gets drawn, and all of the plans and all of the dreams and all of the stuff that were so big, all of a sudden you go, I'd rather be with the Lord, you know? And, you know, I'm relating to him because I remember when he first came, you know, and the plans he had, and he was going to go out in Hollywood, and he probably would have done real well out there, and he stayed at Denton, Texas, at a creepy little place like this. Are you crazy? A little bit. Maybe that's the answer. No. All right. We love Jesus, don't we? We do. We love Jesus. I love him so much. I sat in my chair upstairs. In fact, last night, today, and the slightest little breeze of the Holy Spirit, the slightest little movement, like a soft little dove, and I just break down and cry, and I wouldn't know why. It was just a tenderness that has got me in right now, and it's like, you know, if you said, why are you crying? I would say, I just love Jesus. I just love Jesus so much. You know, it's not because there's, you know, it's just, I just love Jesus. And this dove's wings, just the fluttering, it's just undoing. It's like, you know, wow. Father, we just thank you for your blessedness of your way and your heart, and that you put up with this, and yet you are active with us. You are not passive. And you want to reach past all of the things that we think are us. You want to get hold of our heart in a way that would just make us swoon. Like the Shulamite said, I'm drunk with love, you know. And even the groom, you know, both of them, sick with love, drunk on the new wine. Lord, I can't picture doing anything else ever in my rest of my life but being with you. I believe that you're setting our compasses even more. You're adjusting them. You're setting the strength of our compass to point to you more and more and more. And we are like a person in a big, big room full of the things that are our life and the things that we like and the things that we think are important. And we look way across the room over there and we see you and we just start making our way, just single, our eyes single. We start making our way to you and we bump into all of the things that are not you, but our eyes are fixed. Our heart is fixed and being fixed. We will make it across that room into your arms. Precious Jesus. Precious one. You draw us. You draw us. You draw our hearts. You move us so deeply. You move me. You move me. You are drawing us, and we will run. I'm in my heart. I'm getting across this room as fast as I can to you. I'm pushing things out of the way and people and things, and you're what I want. But Lord, we're not in this individually, but in this present dealing and movement, we're all in this together. Till we all come. We'll be no faster than the slowest sheep. We are dedicated to coming together. So Holy Spirit, one who is not bumping into the people walking in that room, that big room, flying above it, keep coming down on the Jesus that's in us. Keep showing us the Jesus that's in us. Descend upon him. Descend and remain upon him in us. Until the day that we realize that our true identity is him, and it never was us. Never was us. That identity you had always was him. That was your intention from the beginning. Our hearts bear witness. Our hearts bear witness to you, to your Spirit, Father, to your Spirit, Jesus, to the Holy Spirit. So, great finisher of the work, we know that you've begun a good work in us. We know you're an author and a finisher. Against hope, we believe in hope. And we take our place beside Father Abraham. And we take the heart of Father Abraham, who looks at everything that we are as dead, but still believe that you can bring forth life. Your life, your son's life, seed, real seed, genuine seed, out of us. You have your way. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.